Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Okay, so over the last day or so, we have been grappling amongst ourselves here at Radio Boston with what to make of this kerfuffle between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. We figured if we are trying so hard to make sense of it, maybe you are too. So we want to invite you into a conversation to grapple along with us. Just briefly, here is a rundown of what's happened. It all started with reports over the weekend from Politico about a script distributed to volunteers for the Sanders campaign, which was critical of Warren for essentially appealing mostly to elite voters. Here's Elizabeth Warren.
I was disappointed to hear that Bernie is sending his volunteers out to trash me. Bernie knows me and has known me for a long time.
And here's Bernie Sanders.
I got to tell you, I think this is a little bit of a media blow-up that kind of wants conflict. Elizabeth Warren is a very good friend of mine. You have heard me give many speeches. Have I ever said one negative word about Elizabeth Warren?
So then on Monday, anonymous sources spoke to CNN about a December 2018 meeting between the two senators. And in that meeting, the anonymous source says, Warren says, Sanders told her that he didn't think a woman could win the presidency. Sanders denies saying it. So then at Tuesday night's debate on CNN, moderator Abby Phillips spins the Sanders denial with no direct question to Warren about what was said.
Senator Sanders, I do want to be clear here. You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
I disagreed.
Okay, then, in the credits, after the debate, while the screen's still on, viewers could see a testy exchange between the two senators, but couldn't hear it. CNN waited almost a day to release the audio.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion, we'll have that discussion. You called me a liar. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
Okay, what is going on? Is this a real feud? Is this a CNN media-driven controversy? Who benefits from a rift like this? Call us. What do you think? 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. Is this one of those conversations you secretly think you shouldn't be having because it's like not a thing and yet you can't help talking about it at the water cooler at work today? Give us a call. Now, we have some other people to join us, too. Joining us now here in Studio 3, first, WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Welcome back, Anthony.
Hi, Tiziana.
It is our week this week.
Yes, fun to be here.
Also with us is John Carroll, WBUR senior news analyst. John, good to see you as well.
Good to be here.
All right. So, Anthony, I'm going to start with you because you had a piece on BUR this morning about perception among some Bernie Sanders supporters that he's not getting a fair shake from the media or the Democratic Party elite. Now there's this rift emerging. CNN does kind of seem to be playing a role in it. What is your take?
Boy, it's a complicated story because there's a media story, which I know we're going to get into. And I think John Carroll and I agree that this in many ways was sort of ginned up by some pretty sloppy reporting that then was strategically dropped by CNN. And we can get into that. You know, and then it's a political story and who does it benefit? And, you know, you asked me the day before the day of the debate, Tiziana, did I think that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren were going to tussle over this during the debate? And I said, no. Because it's not going to help them. It's not going to help either one of them to sort of carve up the progressive vote and anger each other's supporters. And so I was surprised when this kind of erupted during the debate. On the other hand, CNN did everything it could do to ensure that this erupted.
Yeah, so, you had said to me you didn't think it was going to be a thing when we talked about the debate, and it kind of looked like they made sure it was going to be a thing.
Well, the CNN, I mean, we just heard the question there saying, you know, Bernie Sanders denies it, and this ultimately is a he said, she said story. Sanders denies it. Warren says he said it. And then the CNN moderator turns to Sanders and says, Senator Warren, what did you think when Sanders said that, after he just said that he didn't say it? So, I mean, are they playing favorites? I'm scratching my head wondering, why are they playing it like this?
So, John, what do you think? Why are they playing it like this?
Well, because it's wrestling, you know. Basically, it's a food fight. That's what they want on TV. It's good for TV ratings. So, I mean, it's funny that Elizabeth Warren goes up and says, you know, you called me a liar on national TV. And Bernie Sanders says, no, you called me a liar. And
no,
the
you.
Truth is, Abby Phillips, the CNN moderator, called him a liar, basically. So it's one of those things where essentially it probably will not mean that much in the end, but it's good drama, it's good conflict, and you know, basically that's what TV wants. That's not necessarily what the candidates want. But let me just add one thing here. You know, when Warren reacted to the talking points that that the Sanders people had, you know, she went from zero to umbrage in about 3.2 seconds. You know, trashing her, the talking points were not trashing her. They were saying basically she's got a limited base. It's mostly affluent, and she's not going to open up the party the way Bernie Sanders does. So that's not trashing. And so, you know, everybody, I think, here is sort of discrediting themselves in the way that they're dealing with this.
All right. I was going to respond to that, but within the first 2 minutes, our lines were entirely full. So clearly, Radio Boston listeners have thoughts on this. So let's grab a couple of calls, actually. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We want to hear from you. So Patricia Rockland, how about you? What do you want to say with our panelists?
Well, I don't love how Warren handled herself in this whole situation, but I really do think CNN was the real, you know, to quote, villain here. And I hope that progressives can get past this because, you know, prolonging this Bernie-Warren feud, which I think is largely a media fabrication, will only get us a brokered convention where the superdelegates will put Biden in as the nominee and we'll get 4 more years of Trump. So I think we need to put this behind us.
All right. Thanks for that, Patricia. Sasha, let's add your voice, too. Sasha's calling from Framingham. What's on your mind?
Well, I agree that we need to put this behind us, but if this was behind the Warren campaign, Bernie supporters like myself, it just makes me feel even stronger in my support for Bernie. I made a donation. I signed up to go door to door. I just think it's a sloppy hit job.
Anthony wants to say something about
no,
that.
No, it's just really interesting because when this, the day of the debate, when there was a lot of talk of this sort of pending feud, or the feud was already supposedly beginning to happen because of the talking points, the script that the Sanders campaign had and Warren's reaction to it, Bernie Sanders had a huge day. He raised $1.7 million from more than 100,000 small donors. It's his biggest debate day haul of the 2020 campaign. So, as we just heard from the caller, a lot of folks were really kind of energized by this feud. Now, that said, you know, I've talked to some Elizabeth Warren supporters today, and they like the way she went up to Bernie Sanders right at the end of the debate and just went right up to him and sort of called him out and said, you know, you made me look like a liar, and I'm facing you face to face and letting you know. Their view of that. This is going to help her.
This is kind of the nevertheless she persisted spirit
exactly,
of Elizabeth
Warren. Exactly,
that
kind of thing. Yeah.
Let's take another call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Pull up a chair at the table. Let us know what you think. Jim's calling from Dorchester. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi. Yeah, I guess I'm just echoing a lot of the previous callers at this point. I'm a Bernie guy. I was in 2016. I am now. I like Warren. She's my senator. My wife is a Warren person, and my takeaway from this is everybody needs to let it go. It doesn't help anyone except for the other candidates that aren't Bernie and Warren. I still donate to both of them, and I just want this to go away. It's silly.
So, John, you chuckled.
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of people want it to go away, including probably Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, because they're both getting hurt by this in some ways. They're both getting helped a little bit. They're both getting hurt a little bit. It's a classic Rorschach test. You know, how you hold it up to the light is going to determine how you view it. So you look around at the media response. You know, Virginia Heffernan in the L.A. Times says, you know, this was a masterclass in how to defeat male sexism. Joan Vernacki in the Boston Globe says, big mistake not to shake his hand, because basically you're going to need each other. One of you is going to need the other before this is all over.
Right, and this is why there are progressive groups across the country now are sort of calling for a peace treaty essentially between them, because dividing up the progressive vote in this way, potentially what this could do, like John said, is only going to hurt both of them.
Yeah, so Anthony, here is Donald Trump, who weighed in about this during a rally in Milwaukee.
According to her, Bernie said, and I don't believe that he said this, because, you know, I don't know him. I don't particularly like him. He's a nasty guy. But I don't believe he said it. It's not his deal. You know, you have to know what people say. She said, right, that Bernie stated strongly that a woman can't win for president. A woman can win for president. Fortunately, he did.
He seems to be loving it. So does this kind of divide during a primary help the incumbent?
Well, I mean, Sanders even sort of brought this up. I can't remember when, but earlier this week, sort of talking about how this kind of thing, you know, is going to help President Trump, or is, you know, something that journalists want to gin up. And I think what we just heard from President Trump is evidence of that. This is terrific. This takes the discussion off of impeachment. It takes the discussion off of making the case against Donald Trump. And instead, we're participating in this whole story about this little feud between the two candidates on the progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
And it takes the talk away from, or the focus off of, what Bernie Sanders actually said that they both agree on, which is that Donald Trump is a misogynist, racist candidate who is going to weaponize everything he can, and especially against a woman. So there's that part of it that works to Trump's advantage, is it deflects from that. But one thing, you know, about Warren is she's trying to frame this in a way that makes her the victim. And I think that is problematic for her in many circles, because she's basically saying, I'm being unfairly taken advantage of here, or I'm being unfairly victimized here. And I think that doesn't help her in terms of her credibility. I think she's had problems with or issues with likability, electability, and credibility most recently. And this plays into that to some degree.
It's so complicated here, because I hear the credibility argument. And also, I apologize. I don't remember which one of you said. I think it was you, John, said this is a classic he said, she said. And we do know that historically women lose in a he said, she said moment. It's the woman's credibility that's called into question. It's actually part of the reason I think it would have been helpful for everyone if she had simply been asked the question, what did he say to you?
Right.
Anthony.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because, again, going back to the CNN original story by CNN, and I thought Matt Taibbi did a great job tearing it apart in Rolling Stone yesterday. I mean, the account of the meeting was based on two people that Warren spoke with directly soon after the encounter, and two people familiar with the meeting. In other words, it's based on one recollection, Warren's recollection, and two people she talked to. The number of actual sources in the room, one, Elizabeth Warren. So in a way, I thought CNN did it gave a lot more credence to Warren's claim. I mean, this wasn't a revelation. This wasn't a fact revealed. This remains a he said, she said story. So again, to me, it just comes down to incredibly shoddy journalism on CNN's part for the purposes of ginning up a fight, you know, just a couple of weeks before the Iowa caucuses, when they should have been talking about policy.
Okay, John, make a quick comment, and then I'm going to go to Ernie.
Yeah, let's leave open the possibility that they're both telling the truth, that, you know, what he said was not what she heard. And it may be that they're both telling the truth, and it's true what Anthony says. You know, this is the media ginning something up because it's drama and conflict.
And let me just add that I am surprised at both of them, that one of them just didn't come up with the line, look, perhaps we just recollect this conversation differently, right? Okay, you remember it one way, I remember it another way, let's move on. And initially, I think they did try to move on, but CNN sort of dragged them back into it.
Let's grab a couple more calls. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Ernie is calling from Beacon Hill. Ernie, pull up a chair.
Hi, folks. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for taking the call. So my thought all along, this is clearly a calculated move by the Warren campaign. And I, you know, however you believe what was said or not said in that room, she continued that on into the debate. And I think it's very simple. For whatever reason, she's looking for separation in Iowa from Bernie and decided to play this issue. So I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's a slip of the tongue. I don't think news like that comes out from a source. As you said, there's one person in the room who's generating that information. And so it's a political calculation.
Well, you know, I don't entirely disagree with the caller because, you know, at first during the debate, Warren made an effort to de-escalate and she calls Bernie her friend and says she wants to move on. But it's also clear that she came to that debate ready. I mean, that was a terrific line that she delivered, one of the most memorable lines of the debate when she pointed out that the men on the stage had lost a collective 10 elections while the two women on the stage hadn't lost any. I mean, she was ready for it. And clearly walking up to Bernie Sanders at the end the way she did, that had to have been thought about beforehand as well. So, yeah, but who's to say? I don't know if it was premeditated, but she was ready for it.
Kelsey in East Boston, go ahead.
Hi, I think that it's really unfair that people are talking about Elizabeth Warren as a victim as a bad thing. She's a victim. She's a victim of very archaic ideas. And I think that if we continue to say things like it's difficult for a woman to be elected as president, if we continue to remind ourselves of these very old thoughts that we have, it's just going to make it even harder. And I think that things like that shouldn't be said, even if they were deliberating cordially, they just shouldn't be said, and we should just move on from that era in our history.
So, Kelsey, both John and Anthony had thoughts on that. John?
Yeah, well, this is a classic problem because there is an issue about women and their viability in terms of higher office. And you have a whole lot of surveys that say, you know, I'd vote for a woman. I'm comfortable voting for a woman for president, but the guy who lives next door to me isn't. And so it becomes, as Yvonne Abraham said in the Globe today, sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
You don't vote for the woman because you think no one else is going to vote for the woman.
Exactly.
Even though you think the woman's qualified.
They're playing pundit. And a lot of the choices, and this even goes with Joe Biden, too, a lot of the choices is, you know, who do I think everybody else is going to vote for? And that's the electable person, and that's who I'm going to vote for, despite the fact that I believe that this person would be a better president.
Yeah, and there's solid polling on this. I mean, I was looking at a poll by Ipsos for the Daily Beast. It found that 74% of independents and Democrats say they were comfortable with a woman president, but only 33% thought the same of their neighbors. And, you know, I've actually found this. Yeah, I found this anecdotally. I was out in Iowa at a Warren event a couple of months ago, and I talked to a woman, a couple of women who were like all in for her. Are you going to support her? Well, I don't know, because I'm not so sure a woman can win. So they were thinking of their neighbors. They wanted to support her, but they were thinking that probably their neighbors weren't ready to support her. So it's a real thing. As much as we'd like to believe that this is an antique notion and it's time to move on from, unfortunately, it's a real thing in America.
Okay, lots of calls in queue. So let's add Jesse to the discussion. Jesse from Lexington, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I am a Warren supporter. I took her class in law school in bankruptcy, and she earned my trust. This whole week has actually caused me to sign up to host more phone banks and go volunteer more shifts.
How come, Jesse?
Because what I see is I have friends who support Bernie or other candidates, but there's a very large contingent of people who say they support Bernie, especially online, who when you have a civilized, positive conversation about who you like and why, they say really crude, crass things back that are very explicitly about disliking women and distrusting women. So I think the narrative today from some of the other callers isn't really the narrative. Bernie had an opportunity to stand up there and say, if you support me, you support women. My supporters need to lay back on attacking women online. I feel attacked by some people online who, when I just say I like Warren, get out there, vote for who you want, they literally talk about body parts back. And that
doesn't make
me feel good about Bernie's leadership. He needs to set a higher tone. Warren is really...
So actually, Jesse, I'm going to take it back from you there. Really important perspective to bring into the conversation, John.
Yeah, this is the Bernie bro factor, and it's going to hurt him in the end. And let's keep in mind how the Iowa caucuses work. You know, if you don't get 15% the first time around, you know, you don't get any delegates at all. So if Elizabeth Warren gets 14%, then are her people going to go to a second choice, and is it going to be Bernie Sanders? And this whole idea of uniting the progressives is something that is going to be more difficult now because of this. And it's been pretty vicious on Twitter. There's a lot of people tweeting snakes at Warren.
Right,
snake
hashtag
emojis.
Lying Liz and snakes and hashtag Never Warren.
Which
and all
does
this
not
yeah.
bode well for whoever.
Yeah, and it does
comes
feel like it
underscores
that underlying gender dimension to this whole thing that is hard to get a handle on, but that you know is there.
Now, let me read, though, a tweet from Jane O'Meara Sanders. This is Bernie Sanders' wife. She tweeted out, it's about the Sanders campaign is about unifying people across our country, not dividing them up by race, ethnicity, or gender. Forget those who are trying to divide us. Focus on building the progressive movement and be positive to succeed.
All right. So, Anthony and John, I want to ask you both one last question. We've got a little bit more than a minute left. One part of this was a media critique. Should the media be covering this campaign differently than it is, John?
Should? Yeah. Would? No. They're never going to cover it any differently. It's all a horse race. It's all drama. It's all conflict. That's what they want. And, you know, one of the things that's going to be crucial here is what happens if Bernie Sanders doesn't get the nomination. He wasn't very enthusiastic about Hillary Clinton's nomination and didn't do a whole lot to support her. Neither did his people. That could come back to bite the Democrats as well.
And Anthony, last word?
Yeah, I mean, I just think the media and, you know, we're part of the media.
Yes, we are.
We've got to stay away from that stuff. And I think we have to call it out when mistakes are made. And I think CNN did not acquit itself very well in this instance. And I'm glad we spent part of this segment talking about that.
All right. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
And John Carroll, WBUR senior news analyst. Thanks so much.
Thank you.